Welcome to the SBS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning and Assessment Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room in Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I'm your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ed, on the We Learn page on MySBS, and of course, my own personal webpage, beardedtechedguy.com. We are so excited to be back here in this new school year, 2022 to 2023 school year. We're excited. We got a lot of great updates and things to do. We are fully back, as it seems. And I am just super pumped about this school year. I think it's going to be a great one. So to kick off the school year, if you check out our latest blog post, it talks about some of the stuff that we have done over the summer. And what'll be great is in the next 3 weeks, we'll be having a series of posts about blended learning. Blended learning is taking the best of what you were doing when you were remote and hybrid and applying it into your classroom to help your students continue to grow in their knowledge. So I highly encourage you to check out these posts. They'll be coming out once a week over the next 3 weeks. And then we'll get into a lot of the updates with the office tools and some of those things that I always love to talk about. So the blog you can always check out on the We Learn page, and you can check out on my personal website too. A few other announcements here inside of the district. Hopefully you're getting the emails from MySBS. You got your ethics training, you got the COVID precautions for this year, updated email filter, quarantine messages. If you've noticed, you don't get Barracuda anymore. You get this weird office thing, and that is what we are now using. If you're interested in continuing your education, there's a teacher leadership program, and there is a competency review course for moderate disability license. There's information about both of those out there. And of course, there's information about the Public Service Student Loan Forgiveness programs also linked out there on my SBS. So for this week's episode, to start the year off, we recorded a few podcast episodes last school year, that we didn't get a chance to air. And so that is what we are doing to start off the year. And the first one is with Sarah DeFeo over at White Street. Sarah has been teaching now for, this is going to be her 8th year over there. Check out this interview.
Sarah DeFeo, I've been teaching in Springfield for 7 years and been at White Street for those 7 years in second grade.
So second grade the whole time.
Yeah.
Did you teach before that, or were you fresh out of college to teach, or what?
No,
was your
it was a career change for me. I had graduated from UConn in 2008 and then just kind of find my way. And it was like, I worked for a couple of schools for financial aid, just doing odd and end jobs. And then my future husband was like, well, why don't you just, you're interested in teaching, why don't you just go back to school and try and figure that out? And as soon as I walked in the education classes, I knew that that was my calling. It was a breeze. I had so much fun. And then I actually did my practicums at Springfield at White Street. And so when the job opened up, I just put my name in. So it was really meant to be.
7 years ago, when you first started teaching here in Springfield, there's a whole lot of PD that happens for new teachers at the beginning. And a lot of times it's a lot. And I remember when I went through it in 2012, there was a lot of things that went over my head because I was just like, I need to figure out how to be a teacher in the classroom first. But there's a lot of opportunities with technology in the classroom. So what are some of the things that's when you first started teaching you were doing in the classroom with your students?
In 2015, I think for my kids, it was the start of like iReady, getting those math programs launched on, I think it was iReady that was originally started. And then it was a Discovery Ed. We had some of, for that platform, we would do a lot of board builder, trying to get kids to do some research on there. But that was pretty much it. That was the limit.
Mm-hmm. So you taught second grade the whole time mm-hmm. that you've been teaching. In those early years of using technology, because if I remember correctly, 1-to-1 was 3-to-12 in 2015 through 2018, 19, somewhere in that range. How did you have technology in your classroom? Like, because at that time, for the younger grades, you had to share laptop carts. So how did that all work out?
So we were lucky enough that I want to say 2015 or 16, we were able to get enough carts per floor. So yes, while we had to share computers, any problems or anything with third grade, it balanced out that most kids were getting a laptop to use, not necessarily 1-to-1. So there were enough to share that made for great group projects and exactly what we wanted. We were really working as a school on conversation and discussion mm-hmm. and having that medium of the laptop really enhanced that and got them interested. So it didn't detract from anything. In fact, it enhanced and showed us kind of how we were going to grow.
So in those early years of using technology, and this is again with second graders, did you ever have that fear of this is going to be too hard for them to use because of the typing and the logging in?
100%. Every day was a new stress. Every day was new fear unlocked. Mm-hmm. When we had ANET testing, that's their first year for second grade of doing ANET and to log in differently. And then it was not Y user anymore. Now they had this capital S and we had to teach, you know, the proper way to use that. So it was definitely, it was a part of our teaching for that first 6 weeks, but it continued through and not realizing that we were teaching like digital leadership and digital skills. It just became part of our teaching life of how to use a laptop properly. Mm-hmm.
For those who teach younger grades than you that also have the same struggles, what would be a couple of tips that you would give them to encourage them to be able to log into their systems and not to be afraid of using the technology?
For us, it was just a matter of kind of controlling that initial login, really hand over hand walking through how do we turn on a laptop, and then practicing our login, giving them index cards or a printed piece of paper that was taped to their desk. That was pretty much it for the hand over hand. Then it was kind of like we would use for math manipulatives. All right, you know, explore this a little bit. Let's click on the internet. Let's see what we can find for our apps that we have gathered for you. When we introduced Schoology, that became a fun exploration for them because they would be able to go into like our Bitmoji classrooms and find stuff. And that was really cool. So we kind of handled it like we would for manipulatives. Let's get you started. Let's get you logged in. And then what can you do? Kind of a show and tell. And from there we could judge, all right, this is what we're going to do for our lesson. And this is how we're going to guide you. But for the most part, for the second graders, they can kind of show a good sense of expertise in their own use of a laptop.
In 2019, the beginning of that school year, did you have any kind of digital goals for your students? Because at that point, we were pretty much 1-to-1 in the district. And this is right before COVID.
Exactly. So,
like, were there things you were trying to do prior to COVID as goals for your students for the year?
We were definitely trying to go for a more, in our learning, we want our projects, we wanted them to be more digital. So we wanted them to use the different platforms like PowerPoint, or I think we started to integrate Flipgrid because we had a whole PD on all of these different things that we could do that year. And I think we were trying to choose at least one or two to really focus on that year of, how do we get our students acclimated and practicing? And then by the end of the year, what can they show us? How creative can they be? Mm-hmm. So that really started our goals of using different online platforms to show their learning and to expand their portfolio, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. ANETs hadn't gone, were they online at that point? For, because if I remember when I was teaching fifth grade, the second grade teachers, for the first half of the school year, ANET was still paper-based. And then somewhere around that January time, they would switch to the digital version of ANET. Now, had you been doing that for a few years now?
We had, yeah. That, now I'm trying to remember if it was 2018 or 19 that we switched to totally everything was on mm-hmm. the computer. And I want to say it had been about two-ish years mm-hmm. That we had been fully online for any testing. So they were used to it. The only thing that would throw them was it was just a different platform to interact with. So, you know, it looked different than any of their other tests. And we still had paper-based unit assessments. I think for our kids learning to interact with different digital platforms like that, that was the struggle, especially if they had to show different skills. And I think that's where we were leading our kids and have been for at least 2 years is how can you get better at something? Where can you show some skill with this?
That 2019 school year, with some of the goals that you've been taught, you were talking about starting to integrate some other technology tools like Flipgrid, March came and kind of walloped us all. So what were some things that you did early on as in teaching with those second graders remotely?
Really, it was just trying to simplify it and kind of get us together, collaborating with families to get them onto iReady. Mm-hmm. And so I could check in on iReady and see who's accessing their lessons, who is not, and who can I reach out to. And then it became, well, let's have a once a week meeting and let's check in with each other and see how we're doing. From there, it became, I want to say two or three times a week, we would have like a little class meeting. Unfortunately, it was never the full class, but we would start interacting with Fun Fridays. We would go on a virtual field trip. I know they loved seeing like the San Diego Museum or Aquarium and interacting like that. So Zoom became the new normal then. And we, and also I think we were also trying to use Teams as well. And it just became a learning experience for everyone where this new relationship I had with my students is that I was no longer the expert in all things. They started telling me, oh, you can do this. Oh, let's do this. And it became like a teacher trust in the students of, all right, let's try it. Let's see what you guys want to do.
That's very cool. And I know during that time at elementary, there was a real struggle with the learning management systems because quite frankly, Unified Classroom was built more for upper elementary, middle, and high school. It didn't really have that the user friendliness to it. And a little while ago, you mentioned Schoology. So when you adopted Schoology, and I know we went through all the training, and then you had a couple of weeks to kind of like really build up, what were some of the things that you felt like you wanted to adopt with using Schoology during that time?
I think for myself and my team, we really wanted this platform to be interactive, but also a point for students to have all the answers that we usually gave them in class. We just couldn't be there like we normally were. So we wanted it to be, if you have a question of where to find something, here's an easy point of access. If you're not sure about the directions again, here are the directions in either a word form, picture form, or in our voices. So we wanted our classroom online to look how it would be physically. Mm-hmm. And that was our goal. And to kind of pick up where we had dropped and formulate something new.
Mm-hmm. With that, with your time teaching remotely, second grade is kind of a pivotal year in my mind, at least, because the students have gone from learning their ABCs and learning their basic sight words to right before they really have to get into some heavy reading. How was reading instruction done during this time?
So we had started a new program, Being a Reader. For second grade, it was new.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was
It was a whole year of just all these new things. Mm-hmm. And we adapted by kind of creating it as our own, following the instruction given, but also how can we make this interactive for our kids? So Nearpod became a huge point for us by getting these books online, different read alouds, even just copying the pictures so that we can flip through them on a presentation mode, interactive polls on Zoom, questions that the kids could do themselves through Nearpod. They have all those different fun activities that the kids really enjoyed interacting with. And it also gave each student a voice that they couldn't have online. Because it's Zoom, one person speaking is enough, two or more, too much. And to have a classroom full of 25 kids all trying to speak and use their voice, we needed to find a medium to promote that. So Nearpod became that. Through Schoology, it became that. And I'm trying to think of anything else, but really it was those two main ones that we used that helped us give our students a voice. And I teach the ELs. Mm-hmm. So those mediums of just either drawing a picture, writing in words that they want, using their voice on Flipgrid, that was really important to myself and my co-teacher. We needed to hear that. We needed to have them interacting in some way, because it was so hard for them to do when we were just on a Zoom screen. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And now we're back in person. For this school year, we were back in person completely. At the end of last school year, it was concurrent teaching, I think was the buzzword that we used.
Yeah, that hybrid.
Which I still don't understand how it happened, but it did.
I think my brain is still fried.
It's like Bruno. We don't talk about it anymore.
We don't know.
So from your time being remote, what are some things that you found were really useful that you actually are still doing today that you were able to still bring back into your classroom?
I think for us as a planning team, with our curriculums, we definitely lean towards Nearpod. I would say is something that we have taken with us and we're still owning. We still love using Flipgrid because it has enhanced our teaching. It has made it so we can share our plans easily with each other. We can share student work with each other or with outside sources such as other teachers in the school, with our principal. If we wanted to invite parents and do a mini parent share that they can see their kids' work, something that we until recently have not been able to invite in. So Nearpod has definitely come with us. I would say as well as the interaction the kids have with iReady and Reflex, those learning systems that have given us a lot of data on where exactly the students are, because the missing standards that we have seen this year, I'm able to kind of pinpoint exactly where those are and use that information for a small group and really see true student growth. So I think having the students still interacting at a high level with the online programs and also having the teachers using some kind of online platform to promote student learning and growth. I think those are the things that we've taken with us.
That's awesome. And I know that Nearpod, they continue to make, I meet with them once a month and they continue to make improvements. And one of the things that came up this year, I don't know if you've tried it yet, but they have the ability, because in the past it would be the student led or live instruction. And now you can actually combine the two. So like I could see in classrooms, like if I were still teaching, like maybe I would start the Nearpod lesson all together. And we do like kind of our, I always thought of it as like the I do, we do, you do time. That was very popular when I was teaching as the phrase of phraseology.
Agreed.
But I could see Nearpod being like the I do and we do, and then you switch it over to self-paced and then the students can go off on their own and complete it and you can jump in wherever you need to.
Yeah, that's been very cool. We actually have one of our teachers on our team did our math lessons from Ready and she uploaded them into Nearpod presentation, but clipping out the student work from the workbooks. So we could limit the slides that they could navigate through and then stop them on the next before the next day's work so that we could have all of this plan in one Nearpod in one link.
That's awesome. And I know we're getting close to the end here. Are there any tools that you've learned about recently or that you knew during remote time that you were that you're interested in trying to bring into your classroom maybe for next year now that we're like 3 weeks away from the end of the school year, thankfully?
So since coming back, I've definitely become an avid podcast listener. I never had before. So I've been hunting for ways to make myself a better teacher. And I guess in this crazy world, just to kind of find like a little bit of peace of, okay, I could do this. I could do this something. What's something across the country they're using that I could use in my classroom? Canva has definitely been the big one that I have tried myself, which I like, but I'd like to see if I could incorporate that into my classroom. I guess also I would have to say, how can I dive deeper into student data, like from my online resources? I think that that's been a conversation I've been hunting out as far as tools. And I think I would say Flipgrid as well. I would definitely want to dive in deeper with Flipgrid. We use it on such a surface level, and our school goal has been really developing conversations. So really, how can I use that to draw out my more silent students and grow their learning and grow the conversation?
Mm-hmm. That's really cool to hear. I will also plug Inside Schoology. If you were to ever set up discussions, students could actually do video recordings, like whatever the discussion prompt is, they could actually do recordings right in there within Schoology.
Oh, very cool. Yeah.
So it's just it's something new, something completely that you probably weren't even thinking about.
No, yeah.
Just throw it out there. And so I know you need to go get your students soon, but I do want to get this last question in because I find that it's one of the most important questions. During the beginning of remote learning, we really adopted digital learning playbook and using that to kind of help guide what we did as a district. The very first chapter is all about self-care. And as a classroom teacher, I know that I didn't do a great job of that myself. And it's one of the things that I really took to heart during our remote time was doing self-care and finding ways to unplug from school. So what are some things that as a teacher you have done to take care of yourself?
And I have to agree with you, Mike. I am a awful self-carer. But agreed, I think I've tried to grow in that aspect. I actually am an avid cross stitcher. I love to embroider cross stitch. So it's something that just kind of empties my mind out. Focus on something else. I have two kids, so we love to go to the park and hike through the stream or just sit and relax. And I think those are my two biggest points of self-care. And I guess in a way, I can't always turn off that teacher brain. So hunting out new podcasters to listen to, new ideas, it makes me feel better. And it gives me that excitement that sometimes when I'm feeling that bit of burnout, it brings that back. So I think those are my points of self-care.
That's awesome. I think you're the second person who has mentioned cross-stitching.
No way.
Which I think is pretty neat. So yeah. My last question then, just because I always have questions afterwards. Have you thought about doing cross-stitching with your students?
I actually have. Not specifically very tiny cross-stitch, but for our summer program, right before COVID, we brought in some enrichment programs, and I actually did some embroidery and, you know, working on those yarn pieces and then learning how to make little project like that using patterns and such and beading. So, yeah, I absolutely love that. So we're hoping to do that again this summer as well, bring that back in for enrichment.
Well, it sounds like your students will have a fun summer then.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you again for taking some time out to talk with us. And I hope you have a good rest of your day. I know White Street, you might have to go across the street to go get your students or across the parking
lot. Yeah, across the building.
So hopefully you get to enjoy some outside time because it's currently gorgeous.
It's beautiful out. All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah, for taking time to sit down with me. It was a beautiful day out that day. I did get a chance myself to go and walk around outside. And as you heard her say, education was her calling. There's a lot of great tips in there for users using technology in the classroom with that K-2 group, as she has been teaching second grade her entire time. I'm excited to see the things that she'll be bringing into the classroom this year, especially with Flipgrid, Nearpod, maybe even Canva. I know I haven't started to get into Canva too much, but I know it's a pretty awesome tool and a lot of great stuff in there. And I'm excited to hear that she uses podcasts to continue growth. And I highly encourage you, you're already listening to one, the best one around about talking about Springfield teachers. I encourage you to search out more. That sounds even like a great blog post that we can do in the future. So I made sure to take a note of that. So thank you again for taking time to listen to the interview and this podcast episode. If you liked this podcast episode, I encourage you to go out to Apple, even if you don't listen to it on iTunes. If you go out there, give us reviews and give us 5-star rating, it helps us move up the charts and it helps spread the word about how awesome of a district working for Springfield is. And we want to be able to share that as wide as we can. And so please go out there, give us a rating review. Wherever you are listening to us, of course, I hope that you're subscribed and not just trying to check it and catch it every time. But if you are subscribed, send that link out to some of your friends, some of your coworkers, some of your colleagues, and encourage them to listen too. We always want to share what's going on here in Springfield. There's a lot of great teachers and a lot of great teachers doing some amazing things in the classroom. I'm Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SPS Digital Learning Hour.